What do people mean when they say that one apple ruins the whole barrel? Hi, this is Zdravko Stefanovic from Walla Walla College School of Theology. Welcome to Probe, our weekly radio program that focuses on biblical topics and discussions. Today we are continuing our series of topics based on the book of Ecclesiastes, one of the books in the Bible. To help us explore this challenging book, I have invited two of my colleagues to join me in the discussion. The chair of Modern Languages Department at Walla Walla College, Professor Jean-Paul Grimaud, and the chair of the Computer Science Department, also at Walla Walla College, Dr. Anthony Abbey. I'm also joined by Suzanne, our technical assistant here in the studio. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to all of you, and thank you for joining me. Our topic for today is Ecclesiastes chapter 10, Flies in the Perfume. And I remember that we ended our discussion last week by talking about the difference that we can make in the face of an injustice, or even when it seems to be an injustice in life, we can do something about it. And that is why I would like us to focus on the power of influence. I would say since ancient times, people have come to realize the power of influence. The author of Ecclesiastes states that one sinner destroys much good. He continues by adding the words found in the beginning of chapter 10, where he says, "As dead flies gives perfume a bad smell, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor." The main topic for our discussion today is the power of influence that each one of us exercises on the persons who surround us. And we look first at verses 5 through 9, where the author talks about those who are in power, what kind of influence they have. It could be that some of these statements, Anthony, we could express today in different wording, slightly different wording maybe, and so on. But basically, we are talking here about the influence and the people in the power of influence. So what are some of the mistakes that a person of great influence can make? And all of us have some type of influence on others.
Yes, certainly. And this chapter, I think, does tend to catalog a lot of the kinds of things that can make a society function well or misfunction. Mm-hmm. And as verse 7 here, we've got servants upon horses, princes walking as servants on the earth, kind of a reversal or a disrespect for authority that can happen. And perhaps that's a consequence of poor functioning of those in authority.
Or sometimes after a revolution.
After a
revolution. That was my experience when I grew up in my childhood, that happened, that people who were not highly educated and skilled in leadership and so on, suddenly they came to very high positions of power. And
Without a proper background.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Still today, we talk about role models, and they are, actors, and they are, and we don't know how to deal with that, and especially when they have a great influence on young minds.
Verse 10 here, the iron be blunt. I mean, it sounds like a wood splitter's proverb here, but using the wrong kind of tool or an inappropriate way of dealing with a situation can cause more problems and hurt than a careful surgical approach to a problem. I think there's a lot of well, this is wisdom literature, but this is proverbial in nature.
Mm-hmm. One serious issue tied to, misuse of influence, the power of influence, is found in verse 8, and that is when a person in power with all his or her influence sets a trap to a weaker person without defense. And there is a warning here, whoever digs a pit may fall into it. A person with an enormous power at disposal and then someone who is very weak, and the strong one sets a trap for him or for her. Whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake. Sometimes these proverbs, these sayings, were a way for the weak to find comfort that there is justice, and in the context of God's covenant, as Jean-Paul keeps reminding us, there is a God who stands behind the concept of justice. And people couldn't always sense that these things were happening. They were protected against, you know, the power of those of influence, and they could just find comfort, you know, in some of these sayings that are found here. Can you think of some examples, I don't know, from the Bible, from history and so on, where we could see the application, whoever digs a pit may fall into it? I remember some of the stories of the Bible where at the end of the story, we could find this quote.
Can you remember? It seems to me we are all people of choices.
Mm-hmm.
And our choices always have consequences. So we are free people. We can decide for ourselves. And if we make a good decision, well, we can expect good consequences. If we make bad decisions, there are consequences. It's as simple as this. So I don't know what else to to tell about that, Anthony.
Well, certainly Solomon himself overtaxed his people. Now, he may not have suffered the direct consequences, but certainly his son did. Okay, and while the law of cause and effect in terms of blessing for good behavior and punishment for bad behavior is not a reliable rule, it does happen. And a person in power who violates a community standard, a law such as suggested in my understanding of verse 8, he breaks through the hedge, something can happen to him. There are consequences that occur. And so we do need to pay attention to some of these immediate causes and effects, as well as the longer term.
And Solomon's father, David, when we think of Uriah the Hittite and how David took his wife and arranged for his murder, I'm thinking of the book of Esther also. And, you know, Haman and Mordecai and the gallows prepared, you know, for Mordecai and so on. So there are some examples, but I agree with you that that is not the most reliable way, because in some cases, you know, God acts, the people of the Bible would say, and certainly we can see the consequences of that. At other times, a child of God has to go by faith.
Yes.
And believe that, that there is a retribution, if not before, then at the very time of the end, when God will, you know, reward whatever was right. Verses 12 to 14, are we allowed to proceed to those now? They talk about the influence of words. Okay, words, they do have, they do make an impact on people. And in the culture of the Bible, words were very often perceived as creating realities. You know, you speak and reality is in front of the people. Words from a wise man's mouth are gracious, but a fool is consumed by his own lips. And the fool multiplies words. And similar statements are found also in the surrounding verses. In what way do our words exercise an influence on those around us? How is an unwise person betrayed by his words?
Well, certainly verse 20 is sort of a dramatic example of that, where don't curse the king. Don't even think about it. Because somewhere somebody's listening and that message will get back. Words are so unpredictable. You say something and you have no idea how your listeners will react to it.
Exactly. And they will interpret it.
And interpret it, that's correct. They will create their own interpretations. You can't control that.
Remember when I was a student in France, in the U.S., and in other places, and I would write a letter to my mom. And at that time, snail mail was the standard way of communication. And let's say it so happened that I was sick for a few days, you know, cold or something else. And I was always wondering, should I tell my mom that I'm sick? Because by the time she gets the letter, she will have to go through a lot of sorrow because of this. But by that time, by God's grace, I'll be well. So the impact of words.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can talk for my field. In my field, humanities, you know, literature, when somebody writes something down, as soon as it's put in writing, it doesn't belong to the author anymore. Mm-hmm. Because it can go a long way and everywhere and can be interpreted in so many different ways.
Yes.
So, that's a good point here, mm-hmm. In terms of like responsibility.
Verse 14, a man cannot tell what shall be mm-hmm. and what shall be after him. Who can tell him?
And yet people like to pretend to know, and they are called fools by the teacher, that we have to be careful in pretending to know too much about the future and talk about it. He's warning us.
And this is even more relevant in our society that has become so legalistic, and we talk about political correctness. And mm-hmm. So now we are even responsible, accountable for what we say in terms of... of
how it will be interpreted.
Exactly. And we can be sued, and we can be...
right. As we look at verses 16 through 18, I have a question which goes like this. How do these verses present the importance of good leadership? Would you like to read some of the verses and explain or summarize in your own words... interesting proverbs about the importance of leadership. Very often, leaders are the ones who have very wide sphere of influence.
Well, verse 16 is interesting in a different translation than what mm-hmm. we have here. Let me read it from, I think this is the King James here. Woe unto thee, O land, when thy king is a child. Hmm. And certainly we've had... many examples throughout history where a child was elevated to a king, or somebody who lived in the rarefied atmosphere of a royal society and never really had much contact with his subjects.
Right. And we can come back to that topic, but since our time is up, we will summarize by saying chapter 10 of Ecclesiastes reminds of our responsibility in regard to the influence that our words and actions have on those who surround us. Someone once said, "Be careful how you live. You may be the only Bible some people will ever get chance to read." In Romans 14:7, it is written that none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. I would like to thank Professor Jean-Paul Grimaud and Dr. Anthony Abbey for their valuable contributions. Also, a word of thank you to Suzanne, who is our technical assistant here. Please join us next week as we continue to explore the messages from the biblical book of Ecclesiastes. Thank you all for tuning in. For Probe, I'm Zdravko Stefanovic.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194 or email us at probe@wwc.edu. Thanks for listening. We'll be here next week at this time with Probe.